The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Power of Women, featuring your host, Pamela Barconi. Insights and interviews to make you believe that together we can do anything. You'll be inspired by what you hear in the next hour. Here's the host for Power of Women, Pamela Barconi.
Welcome to Power of Women. I'm Pamela Barconi, and we are very pleased to bring to you today a special program about an issue that is going to affect everyone in this country, the cap-and-trade bill that just passed the House. We are honored to have with us Congressman Charlie Dent, Republican, 15th District of Pennsylvania. Charlie's serving his third term. Congressman Dent, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We also have with us Andrea Tanteros. Andrea is a well-known media commentator. You often see her on the Fox News Channel, and she has a very long, successful history in politics up on the Hill. Andrea, thank you so much for being with us.
A pleasure to be here.
And Charles Snelling, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, and well-known Republican activist. Charles, I know you're calling in from your vacation, and we really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, let's begin. While we have all three of you, I want to let the audience know that that Congressman Dent and Andrea Tanteros will not be able to stay with us for the entire program. They're going to kind of be ducking in and out. And so while we have all three of you here, let's get into the politics of this, because after you two go away, Charles Snelling and I can talk about the technical aspect of this, about the greenhouse gas emissions and everything. But let's get into the nitty-gritty politics. Congressman Dent, you voted against this bill, and I know you feel very strongly about it. Tell our audience why.
Well, if you're from a state like Pennsylvania, we will be disproportionately impacted by this legislation. Remember in Pennsylvania that over 55% of our electricity is produced from coal. The industrial and agricultural heartland states of America will be disproportionately impacted. And I mean Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, etc. The coastal states will be less impacted. California, Oregon, Washington, New Jersey, New York, and much of New England. So there's a transfer of wealth from states like ours to these coastal states. Now, the bottom line is Pennsylvania will be hit badly because we are the fourth largest producer of coal in America and the third largest consumer of coal. We will be hit hard. The PUC estimates 66,000 jobs will be lost. I have to run the vote immediately. I will come right back.
All right. Thanks, Charlie. Okay. Andrea, there is a lot of political maneuvering going on over this because this has yet to get in front of the Senate. What are you hearing about who may and may not vote for this, and how do you think this is going to fall out?
Well, as it stands right now, it's not going to sail through the Senate. I mean, it didn't sail through the House. It was a very close vote, and most troubling was that 300 pages, an amendment was added in the middle of the night that nobody even knew about in the final moments of the vote. And a lot of these guys didn't even read the actual bill. President Obama didn't even read the bill and was caught off guard when some things that he is actually opposed to snuck through. So I think politically this is not going to be an easy lift for the Democrats, and it shouldn't be. Pam, you know, looking at this bill, the Heritage Foundation estimates that it's going to cost the average American household $3,000 per household. And I think we need to think twice before we start to get on this tangent of the audacity of electricity. Because this happened back when we were dealing with Kyoto. You know, the United States has to be very careful that when it starts to put these restrictions on carbon emissions and factories and things like that, that these factories aren't closing and shutting down jobs, particularly when other countries aren't doing the same. I mean, with Kyoto, we saw that. Our hands were shackled, and developing countries just did not want to follow suit. And that's exactly what's happening today, Pam. I was just on Fox Now talking about the G8 summit. The topic du jour over there is the climate change issue. So many countries are coming to the table wanting to talk about climate change, but they don't want to do anything about it. So this is the one issue Obama's oversees. He finally decides to be a leader on something. I frankly think there's bigger issues that he should be discussing when he has these foreign countries sitting at the table. But he has this issue in front of him. They're paying attention to him because that the U.S. passed this bill, at least in the House, last week, so other countries are paying attention. But, Pam, they're not going along with it. The most wealthy and the developing countries, again, are saying, we don't want to have to, you know, buy into these restrictions that you're trying to get us to do. And what does that say about our economy? Is that really going to put us on a level playing field? So it's really, when you look at climate change, you have to look at it through the prism of jobs and what it's going to do to this country. And the fact of the matter is, we know the fiscal cost of this bill, we don't know the cost that it will have on our economy in the long run, and that's a really scary thing.
Well, it certainly is a scary thing, and Charles Snelling, as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, as a venture capitalist, you must be very worried about the impact this is going to have.
Well, yes, but I have a little different view. First of all, I think it's an absolutely shameless assault on the freedom, the liberties, and the pocketbook of the average man. So I'm certainly in agreement on the economics of it. But I have a scientific background, and the science is not there. When I hear people talking about the destruction of our economy, which is true, I say, well, we'd all be willing to sacrifice if there was anything to this, but there is not. Climate change has been with us for, you know, billions of years as a regular thing. The theories that the Gore religion is based on have not been verified by science. One after another, there's distinguished professors from physics at Princeton University, Nobel Prize winners saying that this is a scientific fraud, and that's what I believe it is. Carbon dioxide is a lagging indicator, not a leading indicator. The carbon dioxide level goes up about 800 years after the temperature increases. We had an ice age. It hasn't gotten any colder in the last 10 years. This is a lot of bunk, and if there were a real threat of man-made climate change, there's always climate change, but it's natural. If there were a real threat from man-made climate change, we'd all be willing to sacrifice. But this is nothing more than a power grab on the part of the socialists who would like to take over the individual lives of our citizens and raid their pocketbook at the same time.
Well, Congressman Dent has cast his vote and is back on the line. Thanks for getting back to us. Were you able to hear those last statements? We want to make sure that for our audience we stay very clear here. I don't want us to get too far afield, and the science is really important, and Charles Snelling and I will be discussing that in detail later in the program. But I want to make sure that while we have all of you on, that we are very clear to the audience about what an impact this is going to have. My feeling about the audiences that I talk to on a regular basis is this is kind of sneaking through. To the average American, I don't think gets it yet, exactly what this cap and trade means to them and is going to mean to them over the next 10 years.
Pam, can I interject?
Yes.
Let me tell you what the cost will be. Don't take it from me, Charlie Dent, as a member of Congress. Take it from the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission. They have told me in a letter that they are far from convinced that the negative impacts of this legislation that could have on our state's economy are fully understood and appreciated. They have said in their letter, and I quote, "The cost estimates are staggering." These are the people who calculate your electric bills. They have also said in a letter to me that if this Waxman-Markey bill were to pass, that by 2020, Pennsylvania would experience a net loss of as many as 66,000 jobs, a sizable hike in electric bills of residential customers, an increase in natural gas prices, and significant downward pressure on our gross state product. This is the PUC. These consequences are very, very real. This legislation is all cost, no benefit. So even if you believe that in global warming and you believe that we need to address it, this legislation won't fix it because there will be carbon leakage. With jobs being left here and China and India not being subject to any of these carbon caps, you will still have more carbon dioxide emissions and will have no real impact on global carbon releases.
Okay.
So
all right. Now, we've successfully scared our audience to death, and what we need to do now is we need to talk about action. We need to talk about solutions. What can people do? What is the best chance to stop this or amend it? How can we affect the process?
Drive a stake through the heart of the bill. I think this bill cannot be amended. This bill is beyond repair. I would advise everyone to read the Wall Street Journal editorial from last Friday, the title, The Carbonated Congress, just to show you how bad the bill is. I think we need to have a comprehensive energy policy that will include things like nuclear energy. There's no mention, real mention of nuclear energy in this legislation. Nothing about the expanding domestic exploration for oil and natural gas. Nothing. So I think right now you have to contact your senators and tell them to stop this train wreck. That's what they have to do.
Andrea, what are you hearing about the senators and how they're breaking up there on who's going to support this and who's not?
Well, a lot of the Midwestern states are breaking on this. I mean, you have a senator like Claire McCaskill, for example, who was an ally of the president's for a long time. She has a ton of concerns, and she should. And just what Congressman Dent said, I mean, the way to really kill it is to get on the phone and start calling up your senators and saying that you're not going to stand for this. But, you know, Pam, it's the language that they use to name the bill, too. Cap and trade. Most people are thinking cap and trade. What exactly is that? They think it's, you know, a trade bill. They're not really sure that it's, you know, what it's going to do. And when you start to talk to them now about, you know, how much this is going to cost, $3,000 per household, according to the Heritage Foundation, you know, you look at the polling, you know, Rasmussen has a poll out saying that 56% of Americans say that they are absolutely not willing to pay more in taxes and utility costs to generate cleaner energy. That doesn't even address the jobs question. Then you factor in the question about, are you willing to pay more, you know, are you willing to sacrifice American jobs for cleaner air? And people say, no, emphatically no. It's an overwhelming majority, plurality of respondents.
Andrea, we're up against a hard break. We are going to continue this conversation when we come back. You are listening to Power of Women. Stay with us. You don't want to miss this one.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
These are not ordinary times, so why would you hire an ordinary speaker for your event or meeting? From motivational keynotes to stimulating workshops, international presenter Pamela Varcone is a recognized leader in the field of women's empowerment. Her insight and vision have inspired women to find their own unique brand of success, from America to Afghanistan to Australia. Pam's style, wit, and no-nonsense approach to achieving personal and organizational goals will bring your audiences to their feet while driving home the message that we're each responsible for our own outcomes. No fairy tales and no excuses. Clients from the healthcare industry to government agencies to nonprofits have benefited from Pam's extensive experience in providing women with the tools they need to succeed. As the founder of Power of Women, Pam knows what it takes for women to achieve their full potential. For your next event, contact Pamela Varcone at powerofwomen.net. Give your organization the power of Pamela Varcone.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to The Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, voiceamerica.com.
When your car starts to gasp and sputter, you take it in for a tune-up. But what about when you get tired and need help? Sounds like it's time for a life tune-up. Simple, straightforward advice and techniques to help inspire and guide you in weathering life's challenges and finding your true purpose. Each week, Lauren and Shore Slocum will give you the tools to tune up your life in a way that's easy and fun. Stop making excuses and live your life. Tune in to Life Tune-Ups, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel, and tune up your life today. Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Power of Women with Pamela Varcone. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Pamela at powerofwomen.net. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Power of Women. I'm your host, Pamela Varcone. Joining me on this very special program today is Andrea Tanteros, media commentator, often seen and heard on Fox News Channel, and Charles Snelling, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, businessman, Republican activist. We also have, coming and going throughout the program, Congressman Charlie Dent, Republican, 15th District of Pennsylvania. Charlie had to leave us again to go cast a vote on the floor of the House, and he will be joining us again as soon as he's done that. Andrea, you were making a point before about President Obama speaking today at the G8, and the fact that we're kind of out there among the industrialized countries alone. I think it's really important for our audience to understand that we're not only talking about this bill affecting a shift of wealth within the United States, we're talking about it affecting a shift of wealth around the world.
That's absolutely right. The world's biggest developing nations, led by China and India, absolutely refuse to comment on the specific goals for slashing heat-trapping gases by 2050, which is what Obama wanted them to do. So he has these countries at the table today. Again, he should be dealing with, I think, bigger fish than climate change. But he has them at the table today. The one issue he finally decides to be a leader on, it's climate change. And once again, Barack Obama is rudely rebuffed. The countries developing and wealthy say, we're not committing to these standards. So, Pamela, to break it down, what that means for the United States is basically what it meant with the same thing with Kyoto, is that the United States is making sacrifices. We find ourselves with our hands shackled, and other countries are just refusing to do the same. So that means that we're going to tax our families, lose jobs, send these jobs overseas, and other countries aren't going to be doing the same. So it completely puts us at a different playing field, an uneven playing field with other countries. It's absolutely ridiculous. And as Charles Snelling points out, this is no proof that it's going to help with the global warming myth. I mean, this cap and trade bill has nothing to even do with climate change. It has to do with taxing people and losing jobs. It's just another way for Democrats to exert their power over the American people. And this bill touches every corner of the American family, from jobs to household bills to their cars. I mean, this bill is all-encompassing. And the scariest part is I don't think people are really paying attention. I mean, this bill was jammed through the House. It barely passed. Now it's up in the Senate, and I'm so glad you're doing your show on this topic today, because in the Senate is where we need to kill this bill, and that's only going to be done when people pick up the phones, senators, and I'm not reelecting you again if you vote for this bill. I refuse to have my taxes go up. I know this is not a climate change bill. This is one giant tax.
Pam?
Yes, Charles.
Let me accentuate what Andrea had to say. I have in front of me an address by the Czech president. President of Czechoslovakia, Václav Klaus, and he was speaking at the opening session of the Second International Conference on Climate Change in New York. He's also president pro tem of European Union. He said, quote, these people are interested neither in temperature, CO2, or competing scientific hypotheses in their testing, nor in freedom or markets. They're interested in their business and their profits made with the help of politicians. And he says that it is the greatest scientific hoax of our times. So that's what some of the leaders, he's certainly a leader of several important European bodies, I might add, parenthetically, that I've been writing articles for more than 30 years on nuclear power. The very people who oppose nuclear power all the time, the cleanest energy source the world has ever known, those people who opposed it are now the ones that are opposing the fact that we're using carbon. So there is no pleasing them. They want to take charge of the ordinary human being and his pocketbook.
Well, we have, talking about the ordinary human being, we have our first caller. We have Jane on the line from Philadelphia. Jane, are you there?
I am.
Jane, thank you for calling in.
What a fascinating topic. I cannot believe what I'm hearing. I'm wondering, though, aside from selling this as being somehow to counteract climate change, what other upside is the spin on this? I'm just so confused.
Okay, so you're asking, Jane, what is the spin that the administration has been putting on this as
how to sell it?
I know
that it's supposed to somehow counteract climate change, that hoax. But aside from that, is that the whole center of cap and trade?
Well, I can take that one.
Okay, Andrea.
You know, they're spinning this as a jobs bill. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, came out and said, this is about jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, Nancy, I actually agree with you, but the reality is it's going to send jobs overseas. They are spinning that this bill will help create green jobs, and you hear all this talk about green jobs, and when you poll, green jobs sounds good. Everyone thinks green and organic and better. It has very good brand ID when it does polling. Then you pull cap and trade, people really don't know what it is. They don't really know what it means. So that's why Democrats go out and they say, you know, it's under the guise of green jobs. The problem is we don't even know if these green jobs, one, are sustainable, if these green jobs are even going to are going to work, are going to be effective. I mean, when you see this movement towards green jobs, I've questioned in columns that I've written before, are we on the verge of creating a green bubble, just like we saw, you know, a few years back? So I think there's a lot of issues that need to be examined, but The main spin is they're saying this is a jobs bill, but the reality is it's not. And the administration, Barack Obama's own EPA administrator, during a hearing, came out and admitted that she thinks the cap and trade will fail. So that should just show you that and because it was such a close vote in the House, I mean, this isn't something that overwhelmingly sailed through. A lot of Democrats broke and opposed this bill. It's the very, very far left that's trying to jam this bill through. That's why the Senate, it's a very troubled bill in the Senate right now. A lot of Democratic senators from the Midwest are concerned about this. A lot of senators who are just concerned about sending jobs overseas. I mean, you think about this, the Democrats railed Republicans. I mean, their platform was outsourcing. We are outsourcing jobs. This is exactly what this bill is going to do. So they can't claim it's a jobs bill.
Well, in fact, I believe, Andrea, from some of the information and research that I've read, this could cost 66,000 jobs just in Pennsylvania. This may not only not create jobs, this may cost tens of thousands of jobs in the short run.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we will absolutely hemorrhage jobs. And then you think about the taxation, the levels of taxation that's going to cause, again, house electricity bills. I mean, I don't know about you. It's just me living in my apartment, and my electricity bills are already very high. So imagine a family's, monthly budget going up $3,000 or yearly budget going out $3,000 thanks to this bill. And that's just the cost of the actual bill. We don't know the cost of jobs, the cost of outsourcing, that's all unforeseen. Nobody knows what that's going to do yet. But there's a lot of people are very skeptical of this. The Democrats are moving at rapid pace. They're jamming this through like they plan to do with health care. The details have not been ironed out. A lot of it's speculation. And it's really under the guise of climate change, which, you know, do we even really know if it's real? I mean, it's the middle of July, and I'm wearing a coat all around New York City this morning. I don't know how global warming is really affecting the Earth, because it feels pretty chilly in the Northeast to me.
Yeah, we have not exactly. I think all of us are located in the Northeast, and we have not had a warm summer here at all. Jane, if you're still on the line, thank you very much for the call. I hope we answered your question. It sounds like the spin is going to be green, 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 and jobs, 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 neither of which seems to have much proof to back it up. Thank you very much for the call. Charles Snelling, when we talk about these green jobs being generated, as somebody who invests in new technology and new ideas, how high are you on this new venture capital supposedly boom we're going to have in green jobs?
Well, venture capitalists are interested in return on capital. And to my knowledge, there's no possibility of that except for government subsidies. And this is where it's another fraud. People talk about, well, all these jobs are going to be available, and only because the government is paying enormous premiums. Solar power still costs at least twice what any other kind of power costs. Wind power does the same, and people are investing in this only because the government is, number one, saying it's part of cap and trade. If you don't make a certain percentage of your power by these methods, you're going to have to pay tremendous penalties, and they're also subsidizing it. So what looks like a viable industry is not, from the economic point of view, and this only could happen in the case of mass hysteria. There's always been climate change. We just came out of an ice age 12,000 years ago, when ice was 2 miles thick over New York City.
Okay, Charles, I have to ask you this. We do have Congressman Dent back with us, and we are so grateful to him for coming back to us after his second vote today. We have a 1 minute till we go to break. We have 30 seconds till we go to break. Charles, a very short answer to what do you say to the people that say, oh, my God, I've seen all those pictures of those polar bears floating on the ice, the broken off pieces of ice that are starving to death. The ice caps are melting. Give me one or two sentences on that before we go to break.
Okay. There was a warming period about 1100. There was what's called a mini ice age at 1400. It warmed about 200 years. So the last 200 years was nothing to do with mankind. And over the last 10 years, it's actually cooled off a little. This is normal climate variability and nothing to do with mankind. And none of this stuff that they're pushing on us would help that.
I'll give you an answer on polar bears when you come back.
Okay. All right. We are going to go to break, and we're going to talk about saving the polar bear by increasing our taxes across the board when we come back. You are listening to Power of Women. Stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
These are not ordinary times, so why would you hire an ordinary speaker for your event or meeting? From motivational keynotes to stimulating workshops, international presenter Pamela Barconi is a recognized leader in the field of women's empowerment. Her insight and vision have inspired women to find their own unique brand of success, from America to Afghanistan to Australia. Pam's style, wit, and no-nonsense approach to achieving personal and organizational goals will bring your audiences to their feet while driving home the message that we're each responsible for our own outcomes. No fairy tales and no excuses. Clients from the healthcare industry to government agencies to nonprofits have benefited from Pam's extensive experience in providing women with the tools they need to succeed. As the founder of Power of Women, Pam knows what it takes for women to achieve their full potential. For your next event, contact Pamela Barconi at powerofwomen.net. Give your organization the power of Pamela Barconi.
Wake up with a unique daily show. Listen for Mitchell John in the morning. Mitchell will bring you news, sports, and stock news from yesterday. You'll hear interviews from high-profile figures from the world of sports, entertainment, politics, and authors. Mitchell will talk to people throughout America. This is a show that throws right down the center. It's fun, information, and yes, even a little bit of music. Catch Mitchell John in the morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Voice America, and Thursdays on the Voice America Business Network.
Son, we got to talk about drinking.
I know.
I don't want you touching alcohol till you're old enough.
Yeah, I know, Dad. It's not a big deal.
Don't yeah, I know me, okay? And it is a big deal. Underage drinking is just stupid.
Yeah, well, why'd you do it?
Look, I did it because we didn't know what we know now. Alcohol affects kids differently, okay? When kids drink, it's more dangerous. And you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
Look, son, I'm trying to help. I've seen what it does. I mean, you may think you can handle it, but when you drink, it screws up your judgment. Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Power of Women with Pamela Varcone. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Pamela at powerofwomen.net. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Power of Women. I'm your host, Pamela Varcone, and we are having a very important show today about the cap and trade bill, also known as a new national energy tax. We did have Andrea Tanteros, media commentator and frequently seen on Fox News with us. Andrea had to go off to another program. We do have Congressman Charlie Dent with us. He ran to the floor to cast a vote. He'll be right back. And holding down the fort with me is Charles Snelling, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, and Republican activist. Charles, we're talking a lot about climate change and polar bears, and Congressman Dent promised us a polar bear story when he gets back from the floor from voting. I want to talk to you about the jobs aspect and the business aspect of this. How do people get this message? What do we have to say to people to make them realize how important this is and get them to swing into action and call their senator? And do you think that public outcries like that are really effective? Do the senators really listen to us if they get enough calls in their office?
Well, to answer to your second question, absolutely. They're political creatures, and if there's an outpouring of public sentiment, they do listen to it. Sometimes their ideologies get in the way, but they would prefer to be on the side of the people. Now, how do we get this across to people? Just tell the truth. All we have to do is really tell the truth. That number one, that climate change of the natural variety is inevitable. Number two, that mankind has nothing to do with it. Number three, that these so-called jobs are phony jobs created by taxes on ordinary human beings that go to subsidize uneconomical practices, and that the cost to their ordinary people's good living standard, the cost to the American standard of living would be absolutely enormous with no benefits to society. It's just throwing money down the drain so people can take control of your life.
Congressman Dent, you're back with us?
I am.
Okay, you promised our audience, and I hesitate to segue away from these excellent points that Charles Snelling just made, but you promised our audience polar bear stories.
Yeah, Charles just made some excellent points on the cost. He's absolutely right. The cost.
Well, let's come back to that after the polar bear story.
The polar bears are, I just met with an individual named Bjorn Lomborg. He's a prominent Danish scientist who believes in global warming, but he believes that the hysteria is created is absurd, and that the impacts, and he cited polar bears. And he said, but if you take the most extreme estimate at face value, he said we're losing 15 bears per year to climate change. And by the way, there's a total population of 22,000 polar bears worldwide. And he said at about an annual cost of $180 billion under Kyoto would just save you one bear per year, because it would reduce temperatures by so little. But hunters hunters shoot between 300 and 500 polar bears each year. So, and that's largely done in Canada. In the United States, polar bear hunting is illegal, and so it's protected. But the point being is, if the Canadians just simply limited hunting, and not saying eliminate it, but just instead of allowing 300 to 500 a year, but 100 to 200 a year, you know, that would be one way to deal with the polar bear issue. So, I mean, for all those folks who are trying to say the polar bear are all going to be gone, just be aware that they're being hunted in Canada by a lot of folks, including Americans. So, it's just like the same thing with malaria. They say that we need to enact cap and trade, cap and tax, a national energy tax, in order to mitigate malaria for the same reasons for the polar bears. But the more effective solution would be to simply right now buy mosquito netting and other things that we could do right now to help people in Africa prevent them from getting malaria now. I mean, there's things we could do at a much lower cost, extraordinarily lower cost, but we don't have to enact this cap-and-trade scheme to address those issues.
Well, okay, I do have to ask this question, because if I'm wondering, then probably the audience is wondering too. How does cap and trade, how does this national energy tax, how do these emission reductions affect malaria? What's the connection there?
Well, they will say that the people at risk of catching malaria will increase by, 3% this century. And again, you're talking about at a cost of $180 billion, Kyoto would reduce the risk by just 0.2%. So, but you contrast that, if we spend about $3 billion annually on mosquito nets and medication and cut the entire malaria incidence almost in half within a decade. I mean, for much less, we could buy the nets and the medications and help people in Africa or wherever else they're being infected with malaria. That would be a much more effective way than raising all of our energy costs, to supposedly affect your overall temperature, which would then lead to maybe less cases of malaria, if you buy all the science. You understand what I'm saying? They're making these arguments. We need cap and trade to save polar bears. We need cap and trade to slow down malaria. But there are things we can do right now to address polar bears and malaria that are much more effective and cost much less.
Well, yes. If they're slaughtering 300 to 500 of them a year in Canada, you would think perhaps the activists would focus on the immediate slaughter of the bears instead of the potential starvation of the bears over a number of years. I do want to get back to some of the points that Charles Snelling made.
I want to comment on the malaria, though. Can I comment on the malaria?
Oh, of course.
Professor Happer, who's a Cyrus Fogg professor of physics at Princeton University, testified before Congress and he quoted a noted disease expert, Dr. Paul Ryder, as saying that this was just totally silly, that Philadelphia, when it was cooler than it is now, had an enormous malaria epidemic during the Revolutionary War. Malaria has to do with where mosquitoes are uncontrolled. It doesn't have to do with climate change at all.
Well, that was my question, Charles. I was trying to make the connection between malaria and emissions. I didn't get it.
Well, it's because they're making a totally false. It's a lie. I mean, you know, if you don't control mosquitoes, you can have malaria anywhere. If you do control mosquitoes, you won't have it anywhere.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the quality of the air or emissions.
No. In the first place, CO2 is not a pollutant. The world would die without CO2. In an atomic submarine, they're allowed to have 100 times the level of CO2 we have in the atmosphere. It doesn't hurt people. It makes plants grow. It doesn't have anything to do with climate change.
Okay. Well, we certainly established that. What I'd like to do is, Congressman Dent, we were talking while you were gone about the importance of trying to stop this in the Senate. Andrea Tantaros shared with us what she's hearing about who up on the Hill may go for this and may not. What are you hearing about the politics of how this may or may not pass the Senate?
Well, speaking from what once was a malaria-infested city, Washington, D.C., in the 19th century, I will tell you that what I'm hearing, and that's true, Washington used to have a lot of malaria back in the 19th century, the Senate, it's really hard to predict. I do know that the Midwestern senators, and I think Andrea mentioned it, or Charles, or someone did, that some of the Midwestern senators are getting quite anxious over this. Again, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, these impacts in terms of jobs and electric bills and money out of the people's pockets are so considerable that I think that I could give you a list of states that are heavily impacted. And, you know, Texas, Alabama, Georgia.
West Virginia, Wyoming.
It's incredible when you look at the map. You see a few states on the coasts, and then everybody else in the middle gets socked. And that's where the heartburn will be.
Well, Charlie, I've got to ask you this truthfully. How did this ever pass the House?
Well, you have to, you know, hand it to the Speaker. She was able to get these votes, and what they did, and it was very cynically. They went to the agricultural chairman, Colin Peterson, and she agreed to let the carbon emissions for corn-based ethanol somehow not be regulated by the EPA, but by the Department of Agriculture, which is more friendly to the farmers. A lot of good people in industry were silent on this bill because offsets were handed out to various utilities and others, and so they kind of were made silent. They became silent. I won't use the term bribery, but they were silenced with the offsets. And so a lot of people who should have been yelling and screaming from the rooftops sat this one out because they're afraid of the administration's EPA and what the retaliatory tactics may be against them for speaking out. But the good news is the American public is paying attention, and they don't want to pay more higher electric bills. And where we live in the Lehigh Valley area, you know, rate caps are coming off. And without cap and trade, without this national energy tax, people are going to experience an increase in their electric bills. You add the cap and trade to it, and this becomes, you know, even more dramatic. So the American public is getting it, and when you look at all the other wasteful spending in Washington right now, and all the money that people are being asked to pay for a lot of non-essential things, you would think that this rises to the level of importance.
Well, we're going to talk about that, and we definitely want to talk about offsets when we come back. I want the audience to understand how important that is going to be. You are listening to Power of Women, and we will be right back.
I'm going to vote again, Rob.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain inspired really bad.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
These are not ordinary times, so why would you hire an ordinary speaker for your event or meeting? From motivational keynotes to stimulating workshops, international presenter Pamela Barconi is a recognized leader in the field of women's empowerment. Her insight and vision have inspired women to find their own unique brand of success, from America to Afghanistan to Australia. Pam's style, wit, and no-nonsense approach to achieving personal and organizational goals will bring your audiences to their feet while driving home the message that we're each responsible for our own outcomes. No fairy tales and no excuses. Clients from the healthcare industry to government agencies to nonprofits have benefited from Pam's extensive experience in providing women with the tools they need to succeed. As the founder of Power of Women, Pam knows what it takes for women to achieve their full potential. For your next event, contact Pamela Barconi at powerofwomen.net. Give your organization the power of Pamela Barconi.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Jessica.
Hi, Mrs. Johnson. Is Megan there?
Sure. Follow me. The kids are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Megan. Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly. And dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh, my God.
Tommy Morris told me you guys made out. Everybody knows. The whole school knows. He said your breath smelled like garbage. And he almost puked. He says you're the most desperate girl he knows. And that dress is totally hideous. You look like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Power of Women with Pamela Varcone. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Pamela at powerofwomen.net. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Power of Women. I'm your host, Pamela Varcone, and joining us today is Congressman Charlie Dent, Republican 15th District of Pennsylvania, and Charles Snelling, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, and Republican activist. As we were going to break, we were talking about the cost of this, and we want to make sure before we sign off today that our audience understands the importance of these offsets and these credits that the government is going to create. Charlie Dent, tell us about what a nightmare this is going to be, and then I want to hear from Charles Snelling from a business point of view.
Yeah, real quickly, what happened was the way the Obama administration initially proposed cap and trade, they basically wanted to auction off all these allowances, and that, of course, would have raised a gazillion, hundreds of billions of dollars for the federal treasury at the expense of the American taxpayer. So what they did is they said, instead of auctioning these off, Waxman-Markey decided we'll give away these allowances free for a period of year to a number of groups, so any business or interest that could afford a competent lobbyist got their offsets. And so what you've ended up turning into a pure auction, we have all these offsets. Peter Orszag, the director of the OMB, told the Congress that if you didn't auction these permits, it would represent the largest corporate welfare program that has ever been enacted in the history of the United States. Those were his words. And so that's exactly what Waxman and Markey did. They started basically giving away these offsets so that, Utility X or Cement Company Y or whatever, this way they can avoid having to absorb those costs in the near term. But at some point, they're going to auction off those offsets or those allowances in the future. It might be 10, 15, 20 years out, but people are going to absorb those costs. So the bottom line on cap and trade is some people are buying and some people are selling. And in Pennsylvania, we'll have to buy because we are going to probably be emitting more than our cap will allow. So we're going to have to buy credits from those who are emitting less than their caps. So we've created this commodity artificially, this carbon commodity, and that's what we're faced with. Charles Snelling could probably articulate this better than I.
Charles, you're on.
Well, the way it actually will work in practice is, let's say that you're a utility in Pennsylvania, you've got a power plant, and it burns coal, and you cannot possibly meet their reduced CO2 level requirements. So you have to buy permits, of other people's credits. So somebody else in Pennsylvania, or more likely somewhere else in the desert somewhere, he either builds a solar farm or a wind farm, and then he sells these credits to the local utility. Now, guess who pays the bill? The consumer of electricity. So the guy setting up uneconomical solar farms and uneconomical wind farms gets rich from payments which are made directly by consumers, because utilities aren't in the business of giving away money, and whatever they have to pay for their cap and trade, they will collect from their ratepayers. So that the whole thing is a massive, relocation of resources to no point, and with the government, meddling every deeper into each person's individual lives, their energy choices. There's a government, like a school marm saying, this is how you do it, this is how you don't do it.
Yeah, and Pam?
Yes.
One thing, too. You have to understand the purpose of this legislation is to raise the price that people pay for fuels derived from fossil fuels, so from coal, natural gas, and petroleum, oil and gasoline. You raise the price. And why do you raise the price? So that these renewables, like wind and solar, which cost more than those other than the fossil fuels, can compete on a more level playing field. That is the whole point of this exercise. It has a lot less to do with lowering CO2 emissions and a lot more to do with putting the fossil fuels at a competitive disadvantage relative to the renewables. That's the point. And I think that's so. That's a national energy tax designed to raise what you pay. And why is coal, you know, coal is just cheaper than wind and solar. And wind and solar represents 1% of our source today. Coal is half of our electric production. Half of the electricity is produced from coal, 20% from nuclear, I think about 20% from natural gas. You get some hydroelectric in there, and you get to 1% from wind and solar. We all certainly like to see that grow, wind and solar, but you know, it's not going to replace coal anytime soon, and we just have to accept that fact.
And Pam, yes. An advocate of this craziness told me that nothing would be better than to have a tax so all gasoline was $6 a gallon, because he said at $6 a gallon, then solar power and wind power would be competitive, and you know, all these other good things would flow. And of course, that tax between $2 a gallon and $4 a gallon would all go to the government. So you're talking about people who are advocating artificially increasing the price of your energy so that they can get their religious is really what it is. Climate change religion imposed on everybody. Well, in our country, we don't impose religion on other people.
Well, we are in a situation where if we are going to prevent this from being imposed upon our country, and so far today, I have not heard one single fact from three experts, from three people who are in the trenches on this every day, that makes me believe there is anything good about this, there is anything positive about this legislation. So I think it's very important that our audience understand that whether they're involved in politics or not, that they get up off of their chair and that they go and they email, they write, they call, they fax their senator, and they demand that this not pass, that this not become the law of the land.
Well, I hope you're right.
Well, Congressman, are you urging your constituents to contact our senators?
Yes, crash their systems just as they crashed mine last just before the vote. I was pleased; people were calling and they got really animated. But you know, so call them because it will matter. But one thing though, and I know we're going to conclude soon, but the PUC said something to me, and I'm just going to read you one line. Is Pennsylvania ready to acquiesce behind federal legislation that will choke off our economy by displacing thousands of jobs and increasing utility bills for residential ratepayers? We hope not. That is our PUC, the people who calculate your electric bills or help set those prices for the regulated side of the business. Just think about that. These are the people who are the regulators who are telling us, danger, 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 and contact the senators. There's no excuse for anyone to vote for this bill.
Well, I think that what we need to do is we need to not only contact our senators, we need to also out the people who did vote for this. Congressman Dent, this passed by in the House by a very narrow margin. What was that margin?
I think it was 219 to 11.
Okay. So it passed by 8 votes. And I believe that several of those votes were Republicans who did not stand with the Republicans in the majority of Republicans in the House. Is that correct?
There were 211 Democratic votes for it and 8 Republican votes for it. And the Republican votes came generally from coastal states, New Jersey, New York, and Washington State, and one in California.
Well, it's hard to believe that a Republican would vote for this. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out in the Senate. And I'm going to encourage everybody to call their senator. I cannot tell you how much I've enjoyed this program. I'm very grateful to Congressman Charlie Dent, to Charles Snelling, and to Andrea Tanteros for being with us today. You have been listening to Power of Women. Thank you so much.
Thank you again for joining us on Power of Women with Pamela Varcone. Please tune in again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it a powerful week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.